it's just a public service announcement. Sponsored by Just Blaze and the good folks at Rockefeller Records.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Welcome into another edition of the Naked Bootleg Podcast, presented by the Boss and Herald. Evan Lazar here with Adam Kirchen, and we are finally back after a little Thanksgiving hiatus. Adam, good to talk Patriots football again.
Yeah, it was a busy week, so we couldn't really get to it, but it's good to be back.
Absolutely, yeah, and ate a lot of turkey, did that whole thing. We're a week after Thanksgiving now, though, so kind of all over that. But let's move on now to today's show, where we're going to preview the Patriots Week 13 matchup against the Bills in a few minutes. But first, we wanted to start with the AFC playoff picture here, and the top seed in the conference. Obviously, it looks like the Patriots and the Steelers are going to be battling that out for the number one seed, and they'll meet in week 15 in Pittsburgh. So that's the game everybody kind of has circled on their calendars, including Mike Tomlin, it turns out. But, you know, what do you think, Adam? Do you think it's important for the Patriots to get that top seed and home field advantage?
I think, yeah, most years it is. I don't think it's necessarily, a huge priority this year, just because I don't see any team really in the conference who's as huge of a challenger to them as they normally would be. I think it's really the Patriots conference to lose. So I think it'd be nice to get home field advantage, and I think they will get home field advantage. I just don't think if they don't get it this year.
Yeah, I would agree. Statistically speaking, just walk you through it real quick here. The Patriots as the number one seed are basically guaranteed Super Bowl bound if they get it. 5 out of 6 times that they've had it since 2001, they've made the Super Bowl. They've won it 3 times. Both of the losses, obviously, 2007, 2011, where they were the number one seed. But basically, other than that 2010 divisional round loss to the Jets, which was, you know, one of the worst losses of the Belichick era, they've been pretty automatic getting the number one seed and getting to the Super Bowl. The number two seed, 3 years in a row that they've had that number two seed, they've lost in the AFC Championship game, twice in Denver in that home game against Baltimore after Baltimore upset Denver in the divisional round. So you have to go all the way back to, you know, the beginning of this dynasty in 04 and 01 to find years where they were the number two seed and won the Super Bowl. So it's happened, but it's happened far less than it has when they are the number one seed. But everybody is going to come back to the fact that they kill Pittsburgh. You know, they kill Pittsburgh, whether it's here, or they kill Pittsburgh, whether it's in Pittsburgh. So it's tough to, you know, argue with that. Brady's 6-1 against Mike Tomlin's Steelers, 11-3 against the Steelers overall in his career, absolutely dominates them. So I would agree that when you really look at the AFC playoff picture here, I mean, do you really, if Jacksonville somehow squeaks out the number one seed in the conference, are we worried that they can't go out down to Jacksonville and beat Blake Bortles? You know, I don't think so. And that's really it. It's either going to Pittsburgh or somehow Jacksonville makes a run at this, you know, kind of backdoor sneaks into the number one seed maybe because the Patriots and Steelers have that Week 15 matchup. But overall, I think that even if they lose that game in Week 15, if you look at the Steelers' schedule, they got 2 games coming up against Cincinnati and Baltimore, division rivals, where those 2 games are always kind of a dogfight. Similarly, you know, to some of the AFC East games that we've seen in the past. So, you know, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that Pittsburgh is going to win out here by any means either.
No, I don't think this is a great Pittsburgh team either. They're playing a lot of close games. They should be beating teams by more than they are. They're not sort of a dominant team. They have a lot of good players, but they just don't play that well. Even though they have a great record, or a really good one, they just don't seem like sort of this dominating team that can put a huge scare into the Pats. And you know, there are certain, you know, road venues which I would think would be really difficult for the Pats to win in, but some of those teams have just sort of fallen off. Like, I mean, you know, Kansas City at the beginning of the year was playing so well, and at the beginning of the year, if they were a team that was someone where the Pats would have to visit Kansas City, then that would be a huge challenge. But now, right. You know, the city's playing terrible. I think people caught on to that offense. You know, they're just sort of an okay team right now. So, and the Patriots would totally have to fall apart to, and a lot of things would have to happen, I guess. If I don't even know if it's still possible for Kansas City to get home field, which I doubt.
Right.
So you know, and any of these AFC South teams, you know, if Deshaun Watson hadn't gotten hurt, and Houston didn't get killed by injuries this year, then Houston, I would say, would be a really even the second best team in the conference in terms of, you know, just all the things they can do and how good Watson was. But, you know, now that he's out there, out of it. So, you know, even like a team like Jacksonville has such a great defense. They've got such good players on every level. And then with their offense, if you can slow down their running game, then, you know, if you want to make Blake Bortles beat you, then that's what you want. And, you know, he's not going to. So, it's just really hard to see at this stage another team in the AFC taking them out. That's going to be really important, but at the same time, even if they lose it and have to go to Pittsburgh in the playoffs, I'm not thinking that, you know, it's some sort of impossible task. So I have to think that at this point, you know, they have to really like where they sit.
Yeah, I mean, quickly on Pittsburgh, I always felt like their offense was like a better fantasy football offense than it is an actual offense. Like, not to take away from any of those guys, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell are obviously two of the best at their position in the entire league, two of the best offensive players in the entire league. But it always feels like the hype about their offense is better than what the product is actually on the field. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fantasy football, you know, culture that has taken over the NFL with the casual fans especially. You know, you see Antonio Brown goes number one in your draft and Le'Veon goes number three. Well, they must have a great offense, you know. And then the other team, you know, you mentioned Kansas City. And the other team that you wouldn't want to go play a road game in would be Baltimore. I don't want to play Baltimore here or there, to be honest with you. But, you know, overall, even if they don't have to go to Baltimore, they don't have to go to Kansas City, they have the history, the good history against the Steelers. You know, this AFC more than in other years, I would say, you know, you don't have Denver's not a threat anymore. You don't have a quarterback like a Peyton Manning sitting in the conference anymore. You know, I would say this year more than ever, it's been kind of a light conference. It's a bad conference, to be honest, outside a couple of teams. And now that Kansas City's not playing well, it's a really bad conference. Like, if you were to rank the top teams in the NFL right now, but not based on conference, just overall, I mean, the Patriots are probably in there and the Steelers are probably in there, but you have to go a long while till you get to another AFC team, I would think right now, right. With how stacked the NFC is. So a lot of the teams that scare me, and not saying that the Patriots couldn't lose to anybody on any given Sunday, but a lot of the teams that scare me are in the other conference. Right. You know, playing a Pittsburgh, you know, okay, it's scary, but it's, you know, it's scary because any game is scary in the playoffs. They can lose any game. But when you go and you look at the Eagles or the Saints or the Rams or teams like that, you know, it's a lot scarier in my opinion. So it's an interesting thing to talk about because this AFC right now is garbage. It's not going to sugarcoat it. It's really bad. And especially since Kansas City has completely dropped off, and kind of a good segue because they played the Bills this past week, and I'm watching that game, and that Kansas City offensive line is just nowhere near as good as it was in the first couple weeks of the season, and now all of a sudden it's like paper thin in terms of toughness and being able to move people off the line of scrimmage. Buffalo is in the backfield on almost every single run. Moving, there was no movement by the Kansas City front. So, you know, this Bills team is 6-5 somehow. They've had a really interesting season. You know, they're 6-5. They benched their quarterback a couple of weeks ago. Now they're back to Tyrod. The defense has kind of been up and down. The run defense especially has been up and down. But here they are at 6-5 and looking for make the playoffs for the first time since 1999. So,
yeah,
who knows?
It's so weird. This Bills team is so up and down, like you said.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the year, I thought they really had something. At the beginning of the year, they had a couple really nice wins. Their defense I was really impressed by. And then, you know, they sort of just, you know, that Jets game on the Thursday night, they played horrible, and they just sort of lost their way. And you wonder if, you know, they've sort of found it again by beating KC. I feel like, you know, when I look at that Bills defense, I don't see a ton of superstars. I see a couple nice young players with mixed in with some veterans and some good players. But I don't see like a star-studded defense there like you see like in Jacksonville right now. But they're able to get it done, and you know the move to put in Peterman was stupid, and you know luckily for them they've corrected that. And Taylor is the best they have easily in terms of, you know, giving them a chance to win. He's the type of quarterback that can give the Patriots trouble because he can extend plays and make the secondary cover for 5-7 seconds as opposed to 2 or 3. So I don't think he's got great, you know, options in the passing game. I do kind of, you know, it'll be interesting. I think, you know, McCoy is still, you know, a dangerous threat out of the backfield in multiple ways. I think their offensive line can run block pretty well. I don't think it's a great sort of pass blocking offensive line. So I think, you know, and this is always, you know, this is always a team that, you know, will try to put its best foot forward against the Pats because it's a divisional rival. And it's at home, it's up there. So I think it'll be, a closer game than that they've had in recent weeks. And there is still some sort of hope for that franchise that, you know, I mean, they're still in the playoff hunt. So there's hope there that they can, you know, actually do something this year. So, you know, this is a really big game for Buffalo. And, you know, I think there's potential for a closer game. But I just don't know which Bills team is going to show up.
Right. You know, I mean, 9-7 might make the playoffs in this AFC, but if they lose this game, then you have to assume that they're going to lose again in New England in a couple weeks. Then all of a sudden they're at 7 losses already, and then they have to win the rest of their games to make the playoffs. So this game in Buffalo is basically, a playoff game for them at this point. And one thing, you know, when I watch this offense, these types of things frustrate me. And we talked about this a lot this year, but, they're running an offense that just doesn't fit Tyrod Taylor at all. They're running an offense that's putting him under center a lot. They're asking him to run basically a pro-style offense. And when you look at the way that the offense is run, they run a lot of single back, a lot of I form, and they hand it off to Shady still a lot, but it's more of a pro-style offense than it has been in the past in Buffalo. And, Tyrod's your best option. And whether you think that Tyrod is your long-term option or a franchise quarterback, whatever cliche you want to use, right now this coaching staff is not coaching the team around Tyrod whatsoever to fit his skill set. They've basically completely taken the read option out of the offense. They do it sometimes in the red zone a little bit, but in terms of in the open field, they just don't do it at all anymore, anywhere near as much as they used to. Tyrod's rushing numbers are down completely. He's averaging under 30 rushing yards a game, and this is one of the best rushing quarterbacks in the league, guy that was averaging up to 40 rushing yards per game in the last couple of years. So they've taken that threat out of their offense of that two-man game with Tyrod and Shady, which was basically their best, you know, offensive threat. And when I looked at that, I was like, okay, well, if that's what you want to do on offense, then the move to Nathan Peterman, although it was bad in hindsight, and we probably could have told him it was bad to begin with, makes a little bit more sense because he's that kind of quarterback. You know, right. He's the guy that you can put in there and he can play from the pocket or, you know, theoretically. Obviously, it didn't work out, but theoretically, he can play from the pocket. He can play under center. He can do stuff like that, and he isn't, you know, a guy that's so relied on his mobility. I think this year more than ever, and we've talked about it, the coaching has been subpar in a lot of places in the NFL, and I don't think that the coaching's subpar in Buffalo, because I think McDermott, especially on the defensive side of the ball, has done a really nice job and was kind of like a coach of the year candidate almost at the beginning of the season with how many wins this team has come up with. But on the offensive side of the ball, they are stubborn, like every other team, it seems like, a lot of other teams, and they're just not letting Tyrod be Tyrod right now. And it's almost like to prove a point that he's not good, you know? And it's frustrating to watch, because this team hasn't made the playoffs in almost 20 years. It's the longest drought in the NFL, active drought in the NFL right now. They have a lot of veterans on that team that have been there for a long time. Kyle Williams, Shady's been there for a couple years now. Even Tyrod's been there for a little bit now. And they owe it to that fan base, and I think to those veteran players, to give this team the best chance to win. And offensively right now, they're really just not doing it, and they don't have a lot of great receivers. I mean, I like Zay Jones. I liked him in the draft, and I think that he's starting to come on in recent weeks and, you know, getting in the end zone, especially in the last couple weeks. But overall, this is a team that's built to run the football. You know, they have a running quarterback. They have one of the best running backs in the league. They have a run-blocking offensive line, and they seem to want to turn into more of a pro-style offense and kind of take away that athleticism, which is their biggest strength, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's very strange what they're doing, and it is in line with a lot of the stuff we've been talking about all year. And so, you know, when I look at the Pats this week, in terms of, you know, how they will sort of get on against this, I think the first thing I want to know is the availability of Waddle.
Right.
You know,
yeah, you're right about that. That's going to be an interesting God, that could be that could blow up in their faces real quick.
Yeah. Yeah. Adrian Waddle's played so well in his appearances this year, considering he's a backup. You know, that you don't get many right tackle backups who play like that, you know, in relief of somebody in the NFL. Usually by the time you get to that guy, there's a huge drop off, and there hasn't been one. So, you know, you need a guy like that. I think you're really stretching yourself thin if you don't have him. He did participate yesterday, and the practice report isn't out yet for today. But if he's able to play, even though he's still nursing that ankle injury, I'd still probably, you know, lean on trying to get him out there, because, you know, I just don't trust Cameron Fleming to do that type of job. He's regressed. And I don't think he's had that sort of. He's in his fourth year now. I don't think he's taken that next step.
Especially in pass protection against a group of rushers like Jerry Hughes and Alexander, who aren't exactly, you know, elite players necessarily, but are kind of those quick twitch around the edge type guys that could, you know, get into the backfield and hit Tom Brady.
Yeah. So, you know, if Waddle can't play, you know, it wouldn't be a bad idea to lean on the running game again a little bit more. And try to find those quick passes when they do throw, which might take Brandon Cooks a little bit out of the game plan. But you don't want to have these long dropbacks and sort of rely on Cam Fleming to block some of their pass rushers, especially if he doesn't have help. You know, especially if he doesn't have a Dwayne Allen or a Gronkowski to stay in there, or, you know, a back to come and chip. You don't want these one-on-one matchups with Fleming where, you know, he can get beat pretty easily. So I do think the fact that the running game has come along so well in recent games, you know, gives them the option here of, if Fleming is the guy, to lean on that a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I think the strength of this Buffalo team, too, is their pass defense. You know, their rushing offense is on paper their strength with Shady, but in terms of what has actually produced on the field this year, I would say that their pass defense is probably the best part of their team right now. Their secondary doesn't necessarily have a lot of household names, but you know, has really played very well, and they have four or five guys that are playing at a high level right now. And Micah Hyde, who they got from Green Bay in the offseason, has turned out to be a really great free agent pickup. Yeah. He's a solid player, a veteran player that knows what he's doing back there. And then Tre'Davious White might be one of the best draft picks of the entire draft, because it wasn't, you know, like he was a top 15 pick or something like that. They got him later on, and he's an absolute stud. So, you know, when they drafted him, people were kind of like on the fence about it, but they knew exactly what they were doing with this guy. So he fits the system perfectly, and he's been playing really well. He had that interception at the end of that Kansas City game where he turned on the Jets too on the return and almost returned it for a touchdown. And I didn't think he was that fast, because that was really the knock on him. And the pre-draft process at the combine was that, you know, he wasn't a guy that could turn and run with guys. He picked it off and he took off. So I think that that's really the strength. Jordan Poyer, EJ Gaines, those guys are not household names, like I said, but they're playing really well. And they really shut down this Kansas City pass offense that, although, you know, has been struggling on the whole, obviously still has the you know, Tyreek Hills and the Travis Kelce's and those guys. So yeah. The same time, even though it's been struggling, you know, you still got to shut down two or three of the best, you know, offensive options in the league right now, in Kelce and in Tyreek Hill. So, you know, they played a lot of cover two, like Travis Kelce alluded to after the game. They played some cover one robber, a lot of zone, but they really shut down that Kansas City passing offense. They were all over the place. In terms of play calling, and just Alex Smith was back to being a check down Alex for a lot of those games. And you kind of just saw his, you know, the Kansas City offensive line played really terribly, both on the run and in the run game and in the pass game. But you saw Alex Smith's eyes continuously just dropping down, looking at the rush. And when that happens, you know, there's no way to make big plays downfield when your eyes are dropping, because you're looking at, you know, the guys right in front of you instead of all the way down, you know, 15, 20 yards downfield. So, you know, this Bills defense is not necessarily filled with stars, like you said, but really well-coached team, and they've got a bunch of guys that they did a good job of fitting the system to their skill set, you know, so to speak, in this last offseason.
Yeah, and I agree. Like, your stuff about Trey White is really, because a lot of those guys, like you said, are no name, but I think Trey White's going to be like a future Pro Bowler, All Pro type guy.
I mean, him and Marshon Lattimore are two of the best rookie corners that we've seen in a long time come into this league and just have immediate impacts on their team.
Yeah, and I've been following Trey since he was in high school, because I follow recruiting pretty heavily. And you know, he was a guy that after the Army All-American game was this five-star kid. And he's from northern Louisiana and played for LSU. And, you know, the thing about Trey is, you know, yeah, he might not light you up with a 40 time or anything like that, but he's got tremendous instincts. When he was at LSU, he played a lot of press man coverage, which is what they do there a lot, and which is why a lot of their corners have success in the league. He also has got a lot of experience in the slot, and even in a game, I think, against Texas Tech a few years ago, when he even lined up at safety a few times. So he can do a little bit of everything, zone, man, press off, anything. And he's also pretty good tackler. You know, the only game that I remember this year where he really struggled was when he went up against AJ Green. And but so, I mean, obviously that's a rookie moment, but you know, the curious thing for me is, you know, at this point of this season, Gronkowski seems to really be, you know, rolling now. And, you know,
he loves going home. he kills the Bills in Buffalo, especially.
Yeah. And so I want to see, you know, if Buffalo can defend him, what they're going to do. I mean, there's been a lot of really I think Brady's going more to him in the red zone now than he was at the beginning and the early middle of the season. So I think, you know, this is going to be another one of those games where, you know, the Bills are going to try to have to take him away somehow. And they're going to, you know, put one guy on him and bracket him or give him three guys, who, however many. They can't let Gronkowski beat them, especially in the red zone. And, you know, so the Patriots are going to have to sort of either go to that matchup and see if it works, which usually does there, or, you know, use that as sort of a decoy to go to somebody else. But right now, the way I feel the Patriots offense is playing is they've got every sort of facet of the offense working the way they want it to. The deep ball stuff with Cooks has been better now than it has been all season. And the running game has really taken off. So if Waddle plays, or, you know, if they find a way to help Fleming out, if he plays, then you're in a pretty good spot, even against the Bills defense that has played pretty well for most of the season.
Yeah, I think that what you touched on with Gronk is really the big thing, is that the where the Patriots have an advantage, if they just line up offensively against this Bills defense, the Bills defense is well coached and their scheme is well thought out to the point where it could be, you know, I'm not saying that they're going to completely shut them down, but it would be more difficult to score against them than they want it to be. You know, the Bills know what they're doing on that side of the ball. McDermott basically took the Carolina defense and brought it to Buffalo more or less, especially in the secondary. They don't blitz as much as the Panthers do, but they definitely play the same cover two style out of the game that you saw in Carolina, where a corner like Josh Norman, for example, kind of made a name for himself and signed a huge deal off of being that kind of cover two cornerback that can kind of play matchup man and also play that underneath zone and kind of pick off passes that way. You know, but where the Patriots really have the advantage, I think, is if they can spread these guys out and kind of pick on matchups, kind of like what they did in Denver and that kind of offense, because the coverage linebackers – for Buffalo is definitely their weakest, you know, proponent of their team. They don't really have Preston Brown, and Roman Humber are bigger run-stuffing linebackers. Other than that, they don't really play very many other guys. So that to me is really where their advantage could be. You know, Gronkowski, I would assume, is going to draw double teams, sometimes triple teams from this team, and then you're going to really have to pick out the matchups, whether it's getting Cooks one-on-one on the outside, or getting James White or Deion Lewis or Burkhead on a linebacker that you like the matchup, or even getting Danny Amendola into some advantageous matchups inside against the linebackers or safeties. That's really where you're going to have to go, I think, with the ball, because, you know, if you just try to line up against these guys and you know, don't really go game plan specific, which obviously isn't the Patriots' motto anyways, so I doubt that this would happen, then I think that this could be a long day in terms of, you know, just a grind-it-out type game on offense, not necessarily the high-flying offense that we've seen the last couple weeks that just moving up and down the field, you know, kind of however they want. Against Miami, they called out some really good play calls to beat some of the Miami coverages. Those big deep balls to Dorsett and to Cooks were good examples of those. But more or less, they kind of just did what they wanted against the Dolphins. They knew that defense wasn't going to stop them. They ran the ball right down the field. They really kind of just threw it to whoever they wanted to. Like I said, they made some good play calls to kind of the cover three coverages that Miami were running. They ran a lot of post-dig patterns and stuff like that to kind of confuse those coverages. And the touchdown to Gronkowski was against the cover four, where they kind of did a similar post-dig combo to kind of stretch the safeties with Cooks. But overall, I mean, they just kind of did whatever they wanted. And they really did. This Buffalo team is better than Miami. They're not going to be able to just line up and run it right down their throats necessarily. I think they're going to have to throw in some more wrinkles than that. But that being said, I don't know what defense in the AFC right now, especially, and Pittsburgh has a good defense, Jacksonville has a good defense, Baltimore has a good defense. But I don't know, other than those three teams, really who has a chance of holding the Patriots under 30 points right now. Or at least, you know, four scores, at least 28, 27 points, somewhere in that range, which is, you know, really when you start in the NFL, when you start getting up to the high 20s, low 30s, that's when it becomes really hard to lose games, you know, especially for a team like the Patriots, who are pretty much automatic when they score 30 in a game. So I think that it's an interesting matchup, because it's kind of like a team that isn't quite good enough to beat the Patriots, but could still do some stuff that would kind of give the Pats fits defensively.
Yeah, I'm thinking, yeah, and if you're looking at a prediction, then, you know, I see the defense again having a good game, because I don't think this Bills team really, like we've been talking about, really is doing what it should be doing on offense. So I see another 17 and under type points from Buffalo, and I see around 30 or more again from the Pats, just because they're really clicking and they know what they've got.
Right, you know, and Buffalo had won that game against Kansas City, but it was a 16-10 game. You know, that's not going to be the type of game that they're going to get themselves into now. And this week, they're not going to hold the Patriots to 10 points. It's just no, I don't think anyone's going to at this point. So, you know, I agree that this game, that Buffalo is going to have to find a way to move the football on offense. And defensively, the Patriots, the secondary has really been lights out in the last, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. And I wrote about the front seven this week and kind of the blitz packages that they've been running and stuff like that. But that's really been because the secondary has been playing so well. They've been able to turn the guys in the front seven loose a little bit and kind of get after the quarterback in the last couple of weeks. I doubt that they do that this week with Tyrod being so mobile. But, you know, at the same time, I think that it's going to be tough for Buffalo to score a lot of points on the Patriots, especially with the receivers that they have. You know, Jordan Matthews is okay. Zay Jones obviously is okay. But outside of that, I think this is probably a game that ends up being a little bit closer than maybe some people want it to be. But at the end of the day, the Patriots end up winning, you know, pretty comfortably at the end of the fourth quarter. Was it last year or 2 years ago that the game in Buffalo kind of went that way? The Bills almost came back. They were down like three scores. They almost came back. I kind of could see it being a game like that again this year.
Yeah, it could be. I just feel like, you know, if Buffalo's best chance in this game is getting like a plus two in the turnover margin, and getting short fields for their offense, which is just really just a square. A square peg in a round hole right now. So that's the only way I can see Buffalo really making this truly dangerous.
Right. With that being said, it's in Buffalo. That crowd hates the Patriots. They're going to be ready to go up there. And this Bills team is kind of playing for their lives as well. So, you know, you never want to overlook any opponent at the same time. And that crowd in Buffalo is no joke. I've been to a few games up there, and I was up in school up in upstate New York. And, you know, it's no joke to play in that Buffalo crowd. So what do you got? What else do you got going on this week, Adam?
Well, I'll be blogging and stuff on the game when it comes around. And on Sunday, I'm having a story come out. Since they ran that fake punt the other day, it was curious to sort of look at over the years sort of fake punts with the Pats and how rare they are, and just sort of how they come about, and where, if you know, how many of those type of plays they have in their back pocket. So that'll be on Sunday.
Yeah, it's interesting. Belichick would not answer a single question about the strategy involved in the fake punts. And, you know, when you watched it on tape, it was as simple as they had three guys on one side versus three, guys for the defense, and they just blocked them. Ebner was just the fourth guy. So that was really, it was a good call. It looked like Nate Ebner did audible into it on the field. When they must have seen that on tape, that they like to line more guys up on one side or the other, so they knew if they had that you know matchup that they were going to be able to go with it. But it was a great fake. For me, in the Herald, check out the article that I wrote this week. What was it on? Now I'm blanking totally on what it was on. Check it out. I don't remember what it was about.
Wow. Didn't you have a Brady piece?
How did that happen? It was literally in my head, and then it puffed out right away. The other thing that I wrote, check out the thing in the Herald. It's on my Twitter. It's really good. It's not that I forgot about it because it wasn't good. I just had a momentary lapse. The other thing I wrote about was the blitz packages and stuff like that that they ran, did a film review. Check out the thread. I want Patrick Chung to have a big game this week, or Jonathan Jones again, because I want to write about how that slot position is really – they're asking a ton out of that guy, whoever's in there. A lot of teams are these days, because basically you're subbing off a linebacker, most likely your strong side linebacker, and it is basically creating another running lane. That safety or that corner that's playing in the slot is basically responsible for a running gap now, like a linebacker would be against the run game. And year in and year out, Patrick Chung, the last couple of years, has really been in the league leaders in tackles in terms of defensive back tackles. And he's always at the top of the Patriots. He's got over 50 again this year. So it's a really important role that I think that now in today's NFL especially is really important. So hoping Patrick Chung has a big game for me to write about that as well. But that's all that we got for today. I think that we're expecting another Patriots win. If it doesn't happen, we'll obviously dissect it the other way. But for Adam Kirchin, I'm Evan Lazar. Thanks for listening to the Naked Bootleg Podcast. To the OV, I used to move snowflakes by the OC. I guess even back then you could call me CEO of the ROCO. Fresh out the frying pan.